Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Yehoshua Parak Chas. In Parak Chas of Sefer Yehoshua, the Bnei Yisrael under the leadership of Yehoshua will be successful in conquering the city of Ai. Hashem commands Yehoshua not to be afraid, not to break down, to take men of battle, warriors, along with him to get up and approach the city of Ai. For God has given the king of Ai and the nation and the city and the lands into the hands of the Bnei Yisrael. Hashem says you should do to Ai and to its king like you conquered Jericho and her king. However, there is a difference. When it came to Jericho, the spoils were consecrated to the treasury of God. The people were forbidden from taking from the spoils of war. When it comes to the conquest of Ai, Rak Shalala Uvahemta Tavozu Lachem, only the spoils and the cattle of the city you may take for yourselves as booty. Why were they allowed to take the spoils from Ai but not from Jericho? The Malbim explains that since Jericho fell purely because of a miracle, the walls fell beneath themselves in its place, it fell through miracle, the wealth was consecrated. But the warriors were entitled to the booty of Ai because they themselves fought for the victory. What is the battle strategy? So Yehoshua chooses 30,000 warriors and he commands them that they will lay ambush to the city. Behind the city, they will set up a line of ambush. He tells them, "Al tarchiku min ha'ir ma'od, do not stray too far from the city. V'yisem kulchem nechonim, you should all be ready. You are the line of ambush. And as for me and the whole nation that is with me, we will come close to the city. It will be that the people of Ai will come out to confront us. We will run away from them. They will run after us. We will draw the entire nation out of the city. But people of Ai will say, wow, look at this. Nasim lifaneinu. They're fleeing from us. Kasher barishona. Just like their first attempt to conquer Ai was not successful, this will not be successful as well. They will run away after us as we run away from them. And va'atem takum memeha arev. When I give you the sign, you will get up from the ambush. V'horashtam esair. You will drive out whoever remains in the city, and God will give the city in your hands. And when you take the city, what should we do with the city? Tatsisu esair ba'ish. We will burn the city like Hashem commanded. And Yehoshua sends the ambush. The ambush dwells, if you imagine a map in your head, or it might be successful, it might be helpful to jot down a little bit of a map. You have north, east, south, west. So the people, the ambush, the 30,000 men, dwelled between base El and Ai to the east of Ai. So you have base El closer to the Mediterranean on your map, Ai closer to the Jordan River. The people, the 30,000 men of ambush, dwelt between base El and Ai, but to the west of Ai. And Yehoshua slept that night with his people. Yehoshua woke up in the morning. He appoints and takes accounting of the people, and they are prepared for battle. And then Yehoshua takes a second ambush party, says Rashi. We are on Pasuk Yirbeis of Perchas. Vayikach kechameshas alafim ish. He takes another 5,000 men, says Rashi, orev achar orev. This is a second ambush party, and he puts this ambush party also between Beis El and between Ai, to the west of the city. So the 5,000 men were closer to Ai, and behind them stood 30,000 men in an ambush line, and Yehoshua and the nation was to the north of Ai. And when the king of Ai sees that the people are to the north and they are coming to approach the city, he hurries up, he gets up, he goes out with his men of war at the appointed time, not knowing, says Pasuk Yudalit, that behind the city to the west, there were two ambush lines. And Yehoshua and the nation, according to Rashi, Pasuk Tesvav, gave the appearance of being beaten. Vayin agu Yehoshua v'chol Yisrael lefneihem. They were not beaten, but Yehoshua and the men gave the appearance of being beaten, and they ran towards the desert. And everybody in Ai rallies together and they start chasing them. They chase after Yehoshua. They are drawn away from the city. Pasuk Yud Zayin tells us there was not one man left in Ai or in Beis El because they went to run after Israel. Vayazvu esair pesucha. They leave the city entirely open as they chase after the Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk Yud Ches. And Hashem says to Yehoshua, Netei bakidon asher biyadcha el ha'ai. Stretch out the spear that is in your hand, Rashi says. Hu hayasi man the Orev? Why does Yehoshua need to stick forth his spear, send out his hand with his spear? This was a sign to the ambush party, Latseis min ha-ma'arav, to leave the ambush. Bir also Hakidon, says Rashi, when they saw Yehoshua sticking out the spear, Natui al-Ha'ir, pointed towards the city, the ambush party was to leave the ambush and run towards the city. Yehoshua stretches out the spear in his hand towards the city. The ambush party got up quickly from their place. This is the ambush party of 5,000 men closer to the city. The 30,000 men would follow the 5,000 men. There were two ambush lines, as we have already explained. They come to the city, they conquer the city, they set the city on fire. Pasuchav tells us that the people of Ai turned around and they saw that their city is smoking up to the heavens, and they were weak. They could not run any longer. And they realize that they have been captured. V'Yehoshua v'chol Yisrael ra'u ki lachad ha'roi v'asair. Yehoshua and the Bnei Yisrael see that the city has been conquered. They see the line of smoke rising up from the city. They return. V'yaku es anshei ha'ai. They smote and slay the people of Ai. And as people came out to meet the Bnei Yisrael, they were caught. The people of Ai were caught between the ambush party and the main army. V'yaku osam pasuch of beis. Yehoshua and his men smote them down. Ad bilti hishir lahem saridu palit. There is not one remnant remaining. No one escapes alive. They take the king of Ai alive, however, so the king remains alive. The entire city is smote down by sword. And how many fell on that day? Pasuchav hei, vayihi kol hanoflim bayamahu me'ish v'ad isha, shneim asar elef, kol anshei ha'ai. The entire city was destroyed, 12,000 from man to woman, the inhabitants of Ai. And Yehoshua did not return his hand with the spear until the entire city had been destroyed. Pasuchav zayin, they fulfilled the command of Hashem. They take the animals and spoils of the city as booty for themselves. Pasuchav ches, vayisrof Yehoshua Yehoshua burns Ai, vayasimeha tel olam. He makes it into a mound forever. Shemama ad hayamazeh, remains desolate and a ruin until this very day. The king of Ai was hung on a tree. The end of the parak finishes off by telling us an incident that happened when the Bnei Yisrael crossed the Jordan River previous to the conquest of Ai and previous to the conquest of the parak, the story that we read in this parak. And Rashi says about the end of parak Ches, Ein mukdam u'me'uchar b'Torah. There is no order. There's not necessarily chronological order in which the events are written for us here in this story. Parsha zoksuva mukdam. This story that we're about to read at the end of the parak was written previously. The story we're about to read as parak Ches concludes was written the day they crossed the Yarden River. What does Yehoshua do? The end of the parak says he takes an altar, he builds a mizbeach of stones that have been uncut. When you build them as Be'ech Avanim, they cannot be built from cut stones. And the Parshas Yisro, the Torah tells us that they offer altars and they write upon these stones the Torah. Vayichtov sham al ha'avanim es Mishnah Torah smosh asher kasav ufnei b'nei Yisrael. Yehoshua writes on the stones the Torah that Moshe commanded the Bnei Yisrael. There are varying opinions of exactly what Moshe wrote on these stones. Some say he only wrote Sefer Devarim. Some say he only wrote the Aseres HaDibros as recorded in Sefer Devarim. But most commentators maintain Yehoshua wrote the entire Torah from beginning to end on these stones. And we have the Brachos and the Klalos on Har Grizim, on Har Eval, at the end of the Perek. You have six Shvatim standing on Har Grizim, six Shvatim standing on the slopes of Har Eval. In the valley between the two mountains, you have the Aron Bris Hashem, the Kohanim, and the senior Levim. The Levim would turn to Har Grizim and pronounce a blessing. The whole nation would say Amen. And then they would turn to Har Eval and pronounce a curse, and everybody would say Amen. I want to focus very interestingly and beautifully on Pasuk Chaf Ches. Vayisrov Yehoshua es ha'ai. Yehoshua burns ai. Vayasimeha tel olam. He makes it into a mound forever. Shemama ad hayom hazeh. It remains desolate until this very day. I saw a very nice insight brought down in the name of the Abarbanel. Yehoshua wanted to create an everlasting memorial to two events. One, when Israel sinned, it was defeated, even though Ai was not a formidable foe, as we learned on Perek Zion, when Yisrael was under the influence of sin from the taking of the consecrated spoils by Achan, they were defeated at Ai. That was one thing Yehoshua wanted us to remember as he made the destroyed Ai into a tel olam. Remember that when you sin, you will be defeated, even if Ai is not a formidable foe. On the other hand, he wants us to remember from the very same mound the opposite lesson. When the sin was cleansed, after Achan's sin was cleansed from the midst of the Bnei Yisrael, we won and we conquered Ai overwhelmingly with complete defeat. I think we learn from here something very, very important and something very impactful. The same city of Ai, the same king, the same geography, the same topography, the same valley before Ai where the people stationed themselves, the same inhabitants of the city, the same gates of the city. Nothing changed. Why in Perek Zion were we defeated and in Perek Ches, Yehoshua and his men were successful? And that Tel Olam, the mound forever that Yehoshua establishes, testifies to two messages. On the one hand, when we sinned, we were defeated. And on the other hand, when we were cleansed of sin, we were successful. What changed? I didn't change. The king didn't change. The land didn't change. The topography did not change. The geography did not change. The inhabitants did not change. We changed. We learn something beautifully, tremendously powerful from here. We have the ability to control, to a degree, the destiny and outcome of Knesset Yisrael. When we are sinful, our destiny, Rachmana Litzlan, will not be positive. And when we are cleansed of sin, we have the power to change our very own destiny. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Melech HaMashiach, in the marketplace, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said to Melech HaMashiach, when are you coming? Melech HaMashiach said, Hayom. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Hayom. And Melech HaMashiach said, Eliyahu Navi said, yes, Hayom, im bekolo tishmu. I'm coming today if you listen to his voice. With sin, we brought destruction upon ourselves, Perek Zion through I. With cleansing of sin, with purity, with tahara, with listening to the command of God, we brought victory in Paraches. I didn't change. The king didn't change. The topography, geography, city, land did not change. The Bnei Yisrael changed. And when we change for the better, we can change our destiny for the better. What a powerful lesson for us to keep in mind as Ovdei Hashem. Thank you for joining our learning as part of the Torat Imecha Nach Yomi program, Liilui Nishma Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef, Alaha Hashalom.